was a big block over there. There's traffic outside.
Rabbi Yitzchok Grossnas.
Good morning. Apologies for the delay. Part of it is my fault, part of it was a big traffic jam outside. The shir should be Le'ilu Nishmas, my mother, Le'ibas Modcha, Arini Kaporas Mishkova. So Parshas B'Shalach. Parshas B'Shalach is a very nice parsha. Everyone has gets a nice feeling inside. Parshas B'Shalach, the shira. There's three main points in the parsha. You got the Kriyas Yamsuf, then you have the Mon, the Parshas Amon, and then Milchemes Amalek. And then you have a few other points in the middle, but these are the main. I want to try and speak about each one if we have time. Right at the beginning of the parsha, there's a very nice Chasam Sofer. There was a story, the Chasam Sofer. What happened was that a few people came over to the Chasam Sofer, they were maskilim, and they wanted. The Kenneth Hassan said, we have an idea, we want to open up a school. And in the school, we're going to teach people more good manners and all studies and things like that. And don't worry, we'll also teach some Torah. But people need to be able to get around and we'll put a big focus on the secular. And we'll also teach Torah. So the Chasam Sofer heard from there that obviously the main point, the main focus is going to be the secular and also a little bit of Torah. So I don't know if he disagrees with them on the spot or not, but what he did was that straight away he called a Hesped the next day, and he knew he had to sort of wage a war about the school, and he called the Hesped. There was a Pesach Gadol that was Nifta at that time, and he called the Hesped the next day and he said everyone must come for this Hesped. Yeah, like they have over here in MH sometimes, you know, you gather the whole town, there's a hesped, and he gave a hesped on this law.
So was that the time that he wasn't allowed to speak besides his
spading? I'm not sure, I didn't know about that. There was such a time that he's not allowed to speak besides his spading. Oh yeah?
They passed it to the
authorities. I see. Okay. Okay, could be that was the reason. He says that there was a time that the Chasam Sofer could only give a hesped. The authorities wouldn't allow. Could be. So I just look at the way it's brought down in the Chasam Sofer, Allah Torah, they bring the bottom of the story. So he called the hesped, and in the hesped he said, let's just take out parts of what's going to get to us. He came with this, he said this word. He said that the Pasuk says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he took the Yidden out of Mitzrayim, ve'loy nochom elikim derech eretz plishtim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't take Bnei Yisrael out through Eretz Plishtim into Eretz Yisrael, ki koroivu, it's near. Ki omar elekim pen yinochem ma'om biroisa milchoma v'shavu mitzroim. Hashem said that the Yidden, when they have a war, then they might get scared, and then they'll say, we want to go back to Mitzrayim. That's why Rali took them through the Midbar, and then when they were tuck in trouble, it was a little bit harder to get back to Mitzrayim. So, the Pasuk is very ma'arich. Derech Eretz Plishtim, ki koroivu, ki omar elekim. There's obviously another meaning in the Pasuk. There's another hint, another message that the Pasuk is telling us. So he said, there's a shaila like this. He said, the person sometimes wants to teach his children. Yeah, he wants to teach his children, and he wants to be mechanich his kids. So he can say, he's got two things he has to teach them. He has to teach them secular studies, derech eretz, important, very important things. And he also wants to teach them Torah. The shaila is what comes first. And he said, this is the message what the Pasuk is telling us. He said, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu came out, took the Yidden out of Mitzrayim. Yeah? Let's see how he did things. When he took them out of Mitzrayim, so the Yidden, it says in the Medrash, that they lived in Mitzrayim, which Mitzrayim itself was a backward country. And the Yidden themselves were, it says in a Gemara that B'tchila Hoy Yisrael, a Gemara in Yuma Ein Hei, B'tchila Hoy Yisrael Ketarne Goylim Shemenakrim Ba'ashpa. They were like chickens who used to pick in the dirt. They were slaves of a lowly nation. Ad Shebo Moshe v'kova lahem zman seuda. Till Moshe came along and he told him, you got to have breakfast, you got to have lunch, you got to have supper. So before that, there was no manners either. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to lift them up from that stage of being avodim, become well-mannered, people who could get along, and also give them the Torah. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu did was, better the natural thing would be to go through Plishtim, and Plishtim was a level higher than Mitzrayim, and then let them learn a bit of manners, and then afterwards they'll be ready to accept the Torah. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, no, I don't want to take them through Plishtim. Why? Because if a person puts his focus first, the first thing that he does, which is a focus, he puts on the secular, that's going to be his first focus, then later on, when it gets to the Torah later, then he might not have the koichos already, and then he's already quite near the secular. That's the kikor oivu. He's quite near to his normal. If you want the yid to be matzliach, first you've got to separate him totally from the goy. Separate him from a goy, and that's by giving him the Torah. The Torah separates yid from a goy. We have our own sets of laws, our own mahalchim, and the Torah itself. The Rambam writes, the Torah itself lifts up a person with his midas, makes him a better person. In his derech eretz also, so he said, first HaKadosh Baruch Hu took them out to Har Sinai, and then afterwards, through that Moshe came along and they learned derech eretz. But the question is, the focus has to be, the first thing has to be the Torah, and then as well avada, you gotta have, it's important to have derech eretz, but don't make it the other way around, like the ikar is derech eretz and we'll do a bit of Torah on the side. Rather, it should be always. You see, sometimes in schools it's very interesting, different schools here in town, if you look, they have different. When you apply, sometimes at the beginning of the school, they tell you what the aim of the school is. So they have a list of things, but it's always interesting to see which one is first. They have a list, you know, this and that. Which one is first? It's a big thing to know always in chinuch, what's the first? What's the ikar? Of course we've got to do a lot of things, but we want to know what's the main thing and what's the second thing. And now HaKadosh Baruch Hu did, first he took them out of Mitzrayim for the Torah, and then afterwards they learned, and afterwards they also learned all the other things that they needed to survive, to get along. There's a kasha that the Chasam Sofer and Chazon Ish ask, and it's a obvious kasha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this person, HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't take Bnei Yisrael out of Mitzrayim through Eretz Plishtim, ki kol oivu, because it's near, and they might change their mind, they might want to go back to Mitzrayim. So the Chazon Ish asked the kasha, he said, what do you mean? HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe, B'tzeischem, when you go out of Mitzrayim, tavdu nesei Elokim al hor hazeh, you'll serve Hashem on Har Sinai. So Bnei Yisrael had to go out of Mitzrayim to serve Hashem on Har Sinai. So, never mind this whole vort that we said now, the whole drush. But, poshut pshat, what's going on? That Hashem said, I'm not taking you through Plishtim because you might change your mind and go back to Mitzrayim. What about Kabbalah Satayra? Bnei Yisrael had to go through, if you look on a map, you go out of Mitzrayim, on top is Eretz Yisrael, through Plishtim, and then to the right, is Har Sinai, is Midbar Sinai. So they had to go to Midbar Sinai in order to get the Torah. Tavnu nesa lekim al hor hazeh. They had to get Kabbalah Satayra on Har Sinai. So why is the Kosh Baruch Hu saying, I'm not taking you through Plishtim to Eretz Yisrael because you might change your mind and go back to Mitzrayim. You have to go through Har Sinai. What happened to Kabbalah Satayra? It's an obvious question. So the Chazon Ish says two terutzim. One terutz, one's the obvious terutz, that he says, and not when HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe, Tavnu nesa lekim al hor hazeh, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe earlier in Parsha Shmois, Tavnu nesa lekim al hor hazeh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu already knew that he doesn't want to take the Yidden out through Plishtim. Yeah, it's all HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows the future. So that's one teret that he answers. He says another teret, yeah, so that answers the question, right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu asks, now the reason why I'm not taking you through Plishtim, why are we not getting the Torah somewhere else? Another answer that he gives, he says that maybe had it been good to go through Plishtim, then it would have gone through Plishtim to Eretz Yisrael and then come back to Har Sinai. Go quickly, it would have taken them 3 days to go to Eretz Yisrael and then come back to Har Sinai because they had to accept the Torah on Har Sinai. It's a bit of a chiddush to do that. But because it was too short, then because he didn't want them to go through Plishtim, so they went direct to Har Sinai. And in fact, Asur Bo Dan, the Sefer brings down that in the Medrash, it's much more like that. In the Yalkut says, Ki koroivu, koroiv hadovar sha'omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'Moshe, tavdu nes Elokim al hor hazeh. And the Zayis Ranon, on the Yalkut, Zayis Ranon is the Mogen Avraham. The Mogen Avraham says, the pshat is that he learns in the Pasuk, that if they would have gone to Eretz Yisrael, they wouldn't have had enough time to get back to Har Sinai, in time for Shavuos. Yeah, they were going out. They couldn't, yeah. So anyway, you see this option of them going through Eretz Yisrael and back to Har Sinai. It's a bit of a chiddush, but that's how the Chazanish, these are the two answers of Chazanish. Another answer, a little bit Bederech Drush, also brought down in a sefer called Ponim Masbiras. A sefer called Ponim Masbiras, he says, the question was, why is HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying that I can't take you through Plishtim because you might change your mind and go back to Mitzrayim? What about Kabbalah Satoru? You have to go to Har Sinai. So he answers, he says he's a medrash in Parshas Yisroi by the Aser HaSadir. The medrash says that when they got the Torah on Har Sinai, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought over the Haram Moiriyo, where the Akedah was from Eretz Yisroel, and enjoined it to Har Sinai. That means that we wanted the schus of the Akedah to have the schus of the Akedah by the Kabbalah Satoru. So there's a Zahar Medrash, that's what the Medrash says. So this Sefer, Ponim Masbiros, wants to say that they could have gone to Eretz Yisrael and receive the Torah on Har HaMoriah and have the Har Sinai move over to Har HaMoriah. So that wasn't, the fact that they had to accept the Torah in Har Sinai, on Har Sinai, wasn't a reason enough not to go through Plishtim, right? Because they could have gone to Eretz Yisrael and instead of Har HaMoriah moving to Har Sinai, they could have had Har Sinai moving to Har HaMoriah to Eretz Yisrael. So that's a bit of an interesting teretz. So these are three terutzim on this kasha. But the kasha is a good kasha. Yeah? What are the two reasons? Did they have to go through the midbar because of Kabbalah Satoru or because Hashem didn't want them to go through Plishtim? All right, let's move on. Let's move on to Kriyas Yamsuf. Kriyas Yamsuf. It says by Kriyas Yamsuf, a pasuk like this, by Yitzaku v'nei Yisrael el Hashem. Bnei Yisrael came to the sea, and Paro is behind him. Paro yikriv, and they see Mitzrayim behind them. Vayiru ma'oid vayitzaku bnei Yisrael el Hashem. Says Rashi, famous Rashi, tofsu umenus avoysom. They chapped, how it translated, they followed, they chapped the trade of their fathers. Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, each one davened. Rashi brings the psukim, each one davened, and they davened. Vayitzaku bnei Yisrael el Hashem. They tofsu umenus avoysom. So, Matisyahu Salomon, so Gezunzai, asked the Kasha, it says many times earlier, it says that they daven to Hashem. Vayizaku b'nei Yisrael min ha'avoido, yeah? Why over here, why does Rashi find it necessary to tell us, tofsu umenus avoysom? Why dafka over here, vayizaku? Yeah? So, he answers like this, he says that there's many levels of davening. He says a person can have, when it comes to davening, person comes and davens to Hashem, please give me parnosa, give me whatever it may be. There's different levels of, you can have a person who comes to Hashem and he says, Baruch Hashem, I have a good business, I'm doing well, I'm worried that there's a competition, please make sure that the competition doesn't make me lose any money, make sure that I don't get sick, make sure don't get in the way, sort of, I'm doing fine, just make sure that I don't, that's one person is davening. Another person might be a bit higher. He says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I need your help. I need your help. I've got a good parnosa. I need your help. Please help me out and my business should flourish a little bit more. A bit of a higher level, yeah? Then you have a person, Taka, who's on a much higher level, realizes that everything from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, everything that he does, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who's giving. He might think that he's doing things. He's coming to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When he davens to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's coming. Baruch Oleinu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, carry on giving me like you've given me till now. Carry on giving me. So he realizes that what all his koyches and all his ishtadlus is really nothing. It's all from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he says that's the level of Bnei Yisrael. When Bnei Yisrael were here by the Yam Suf, they were at a stage over here that there was no hope. The person journeys and he travels. He gets to the sea. I think there's a place called Land's End. Yeah, there's nowhere more. You can't go any further. Yeah, there's the sea in front of you. You can't go any further. The Mitzrim are behind them. There's nothing to do. And they turn to Hashem now, and they said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, save us, there's nothing we can do. You do everything. So when they did that, when they got to that stage, and it's tofsu umenus avoysom. Because the level of the avos, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, when they daven on such a level, realizing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who is adoin hakoil, he's the one who is giving everything. But beforehand, perhaps when they were in Mitzrayim, they were taka stuck, but they thought, Hashem, help us out. We could try and work things out, politically, whatever. But here, it was tofsu umenus avoysom. And in fact, I saw a story brought down in Oleinu LeShabeach. He says that there was once a person who had a loft tzoros, and he came up to one of the gedolim, and he asked for a brocha. He said that, I have tzoros, and he listed out a whole lot of tzoros that he has. It's like a terrible list. So the Godel asked him, he was a frum, Jew, he asked him, do you daven? Do you daven to Hashem? Ask Hashem to help you. So he said, of course I daven. Oh, he was a bit insulted. Of course I daven. So the Godel asked him, but do you really daven? Do you daven thinking that Hashem can take help you out, that He's the one who will help you out? Or do you daven? So the Yid Taka realized it, and the Taka realized this is something he has to work on, and I think they say that Baruch Hashem slowly saw us. When he started fixing up, lifting up his davening, realizing davening to Hashem, that Hashem, He is the one who can help, He's the only one who can help, and when you daven to Hashem, you Taka ask Him for what you want. You're not stomach wording the words, mouthing the words. So then Taka Baruch Hashem is slowly Tzoros worked out. In fact, when they came afterwards and they said the Shiro, yeah, this beautiful Shiro, Oz Yashiv, since they were in such a matzav, such a state that they realized that there's no hope, they were in such a state there's no hope, so we can put ourselves in their situation. There was no hope, and then suddenly the sea splits, and they walk through, and achveis, I don't know, a few hours later, they come out the other side, and the Mitzrim, and everything is fine, the Mitzrim are all drowned. So when a person comes from such a contrast, from such a stage that there was no hope, and suddenly he's alive again, then sizingtach hashiro. Yeah, it's a shiro. I saw shiro. We say famous memory in the Gemara. Ein adam shor shiro elo mitoch simcha. Shiro is a sign of simcha. Yeah, and simcha. Rabbi Yitzchak Kutner says that simcha is a it's loshen. Simcha is hargoshas etzem achius. What's simcha? When does a person have a simcha? He has a piece of simcha. His son got engaged, or he had a baby, or whatever it may be. What's simcha? What is simcha? Simcha, it's an interesting thought, but he says that simcha is a feeling when a person feels connected to life, when he feels life itself. That means, in other words, a person goes through life in a very sleepy mode. And when suddenly wakes up and he suddenly gets up, something good turns out to him, and he feels connected, he feels alive, he feels, that's what simcha is, that's how he touches up what simcha is. A bit like when a person goes on a ride, on a roller coaster ride, there's a big attraction to go on a roller coaster ride, I think, because the thrill of it, you feel alive, you feel the alive, it's momentarily, but that's what simcha is. So when Klal Yisrael were at that stage, that they came out from total nothing, they were totally lost, and they were saved, and they came out of Mitzrayim, and suddenly they saved, they suddenly felt alive. They thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for everything, and that's when the Shira came about. And that's our chiv every morning, to be Soymach Geula Letfila. We have to be Soymach Geula Letfila, we have to try and come a little bit to that stage, to that feeling, that, to try and imagine what Klal Yisrael were like, and we can have it every morning. You know, a person is asleep, and then he wakes up, it's a beautiful day, there's a lot to be thankful for. Is that sort of a little bit of adrenaline? You know, a person has to try and feel that feeling, and to be so much geula letfila, to come up from such a matzav and to thank Hashem and to ask Hashem further to give him, because that's the feeling that they had. My father told me once, he had a friend who told him that he once went away. He said he went away for Shabbos, and he was near a lake. That I can know the cities. No, major. And he said he davened. He went out to daven Shabbos morning. He didn't have a minyan, and he said he was going through Psukei Dezimra. He said it took him 2 hours. He said it's Psukei Dezimra, and it's quiet in the morning, and the lake over there. Yeah, a person should try and come, to daven 2 hours every day, but try epis to come once in a while, to such a feeling of the Shira that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us everything. We don't have anything without HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it's so much to appreciate Poshut the life itself, to appreciate the Chiyus HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Mashpia on us. I heard the vault, it says Omar Oyev in the middle of the Shira. We say Omar Oyev Erdif Asig Achalek Sholom. The Oyev wanted to kill them. Omar Oyev. So they ask a kasha, this is from Michael Feinstein, he asked a kasha, how does this come into the Shira? He's saying, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, how does it suddenly come into the Shira? Omar Oyev Erdif Asig Achalek Sholot Imayim Nafshi. So he said a similar point to what we're saying. He said a person has to appreciate that it wasn't a little zach that, Paroi wanted to, say hello to them. It was they were gonna Paroi was gonna wipe them out. Erdif Asig Achalek Sholot, I'll wipe them out and I'll take all the booty and there'll be nothing left. And then you appreciate the Shira. And then a person has to appreciate. A person sometimes has to stop and think and appreciate what it could be without, and what do I yes have. And Poshet should appreciate, and come to a matzo, come to a level of his chadshus, of the Shira. Let's go weiter to a little bit about right after the Shira, it says that Vateitze Miriam Achois Aaron. Vatikach Miriam and Nevi'o Achois Aaron Esatoish Beyodo. Miriam took out and she danced. So Rashi says, why does it say Achois Aaron? Why does it say Achois Moshe? So it says one pshat because she was a Nevi'o before Moshe was born. That's one pshat. I see the image of Telet Ben. She was a Nevi'o. She said that Moshe is going to be born. Dovor Acher. He says another pshat. Achois Aaron Lefi Shemosar Nafsho Yoleo Keshenitztaro. Nikres al Shmoy, because when Miriam had Soras, in Parshas, I think it's Baalis or Shlach. Is it not Shlach? Is it not after the Meraglim? I think it's. Ah, the Meraglim from her, right? End of Baalis, right? End of Baalis. The Meraglim should learn from her, right? So when she got Soras, then Aaron told Moshe to daven for. That's the lashon over there. Aaron said a few words to them, so that's why she's called Achois Aaron, because Aaron was her brother. Achois Aaron. So I heard a kasha who this is from. I don't know who this is from. The kasha is like this. He said the kasha is. It says another time in the Torah. It says Achei Dino, Shimon Vayichu, Shimon VeLevi, Achei Dino, and there it's also said the same thing that why they called Achei Dino, because they, I think lashon Rashi over there, they were moiser nefesh for her, mosru nafsham olo. Yeah. Yeah, they were Moisa Nefesh. The Moisa Nefesh alive. They went and they killed two young boys. They went and they killed Il Shechem to save Dino. They were Moisa Nefesh and they are called Achei Dino. The Pasuk says, Achei Dino. We know that they are brothers of Dino. Achei Dino. Achim shows that you're supportive. You're together with them. So Bishleim over there, the Kashi is Bishleim over there. We say Achei Dino because they were Moisa Nefesh. Yeah, they went along and they put their lives in real danger to save Dino. But over here, what we're saying that Aaron, Achois Aaron, she's known as Achois Aaron, here by the way it's the other way around, it's not Aaron, Achi Miriam, it's the same thing, it's the same idea, Achois Aaron, why? Because Aaron said a few words for her, when she got to Ras, he asked Moshe to please daven for her. What did he do already? I think any brother would ask for his sister, please daven, yeah, it's a few words I think he said over there, please daven for her. So the answer is, the obvious answer is, that no, that a person doesn't need to be moisel nefesh for something. If a person does what he can, a person tries to do what he can, even if it's not necessary more than a small action, it's already, but he would have been moisel nefesh as well also. A person does what he can, that's already a level of mesilas nefesh. A person does his little thing, it's already being moisel nefesh to someone else, and they're already called achei dino. What I can. And she's already called achois aaron for that reason. Also, what we asked before, Lemaisa, this also obvious question. This Maisa happened much later. Yeah, in Parshat Ba'aloischo. So why is she called already now Achois Aaron? Hashem Ha'osid. Achois Aaron. So what's Pshat Hashem Ha'osid? That Pshat is that he had already the Midah in him. He already had the Midah in him. That's Pshat. He had already the Midah in him that he's going to be supportive of her. He's going to be a brother of her. So that's the Achois Aaron over here. A similar Zach, I think Rebbe Elia Lupian said that. It says that by the brother of David, when Shmuel came to anoint, to look for a king, so he went through the brothers, and the oldest brother was called Eliyov. He was ready to be a king. He had all the milos of being a king. He was the Bechoil. And he wasn't given to be a king. Why? Because he got angry. Because it says, Vayichar beDavid, he got angry at David when David went to fight Goliath. He was angry at David for leaving the sheep or whatever. He was angry. So that's why, because he had the Midah. So the question is also, it hasn't yet happened. When Shmuel went to anoint David, that was before the Maisa of Goliath. He had already anointed him when the story of Goliath. So why didn't he? So they say, Rebellion says, why is it the same thing? He had already the Midah. We see that the Midah came out later. We saw that he had the Midah, but the Midah was already there, obviously. So it's already now. He didn't get the Malchus. Yo, let's go a little bit weiter to the Mon. Let's go to the Mon. So there was a aveira by the Mon. The Mon had a few halachas. The Mon, Moshe told them that you'll have every day and don't leave over for tomorrow. Don't leave over for tomorrow. So there were some people who left. We left some Mon for tomorrow. Al Yosef, v'lo yishamu al Moshe v'yisiru anoshim menu ad boiker. They left for the next day. So I saw in a sefer that brought down that from the Sforim HaKadoshim, they asked a question, what's going on over here? Let's say it was a Monday. Yeah, they left Monday for Tuesday. They left some Mon over for Tuesday. What's going to be with Wednesday? They're in the midbar, yeah? There's no food around. So you're leaving Mon, you're worried, what's going to be tomorrow? So you leave Mon for tomorrow. What's going to be with Wednesday? Well, what did they think they were doing? So it's a Narishkeit. It's like a Narishkeit. You have to rely on HaKadosh Baruch in this case. There's no... you're in a midbar. You've got no hope to survive. But a person does this little bit. You know, I'm going to leave a little bit of Mon for tomorrow. So a person has to realize. There was such a story also with Reb Elia. Reb Elia Lapian also. There was a Bocher who got a bit... He got nervous and he wanted to leave the yeshiva. Why? Because he wanted to. He was worried what's going to be with Parnoso one day. So Reb Elia was trying to convince him to stay in yeshiva. So he told him, why are you worried? Why are you worried with Parnoso? Now at the moment your parents are looking after you. So you're worried, wait, in a few years' time, what's going to be? What's going to be? He said, who says you'll be alive? So the Bocher got upset. He said, well, Reb Elia is cursing me. Well, I'll be alive. Matz Hashem, I'll be alive. I'm worried for... So he said, in Matz Hashem, you'll be alive, yeah? So you're relying on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you'll be alive. So why can't you rely on HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he'll give you Parnassah as well? Anyway, we have to rely on HaKadosh Baruch Hu for many things. So let's go the whole way. That's the lesson of the Mon. The Mon was the Mon Taka taught us that each person got exactly the amount. The Oimer Lagulgolis is exactly the amount that the person is meant to get. In fact, the Korban Oimer that we bring by after Pesach is also it's giving the same lesson, that the person, HaKadosh Baruch Hu supplies the person exactly what he needs. That's the common oimah.
How could you eat so much? The person's not hungry.
What did they do? What did they do with the leftovers? Let's say he had a stomach ache. What should he do? Yeah, I had this question. What did they do? They didn't have, they couldn't flush it down the toilet. They couldn't, yeah. Maybe they had to get rid of it. So maybe it was a nest that they managed to. It didn't give them tummy aches, but or I don't know. Or they had to get rid of it, but not leave it, not save it for tomorrow. They had to have a munah.
Oh, save it.
They couldn't save it. Yeah, sure. Yeah, that's a beautiful question. What did they do? If a person didn't want to eat. Yeah. It's another little vault is over here, a vault from the Gerer Rebbe, I saw brought down, the Heinti Gerer Rebbe. He says that Moshe told them about Shabbos over here by the Mavayi, by Yom HaShishi, they collected double, so they came to Moshe, what's going on? So Moshe said, Hu asher diber Hashem Shabbos and Shabbos Kodesh, you keep Shabbos, don't go out, prepare everything before Shabbos. So Rashi says, they asked him, why is today different, why is Friday different? So Moshe told them, about Shabbos. Sha'adayin lo higil lohem Moshe parsha Shabbos, and it's tava lo imar lohem. He was mitzvah to tell them, and he hadn't yet told them till the morn. So the Ger Rebbe asked, why did he take not tell them about Shabbos earlier? Why did he? It was after morrow, right? It was after morrow. It means he was already mitzvah them on Shabbos. That's a good question. So you're asking a question on Rashi. So could be the one it's tava. Hashem was mitzvah in morrow, but Moshe hadn't yet told them. Maybe not all the halachas. No, but it sounds like my yom miyamayim. Why is it bechlal different? Lo yigid lo in parsha Shabbos. He hasn't yet told him. Moshe hasn't yet told him. So why taka? Why did he wait? So he answers, taka, very mistabadika answer, that it says in the Medrash that Moshe, they already had a resting day on Shabbos in Mitzrayim. Because Moshe came to Paro, he saw that they were working hard, and he told Paro, he said, whichever can serve for 7 days a week, he's going to die, he's going to collapse. So Paro said, give them a day, and Moshe chose Shabbos as a resting day. So he says, so Moshe didn't want to tell them now about Shabbos, because then they would just think it's a resting day, like we had in Mitzrayim, a resting day. Shabbos is a resting day. So if you tell them about Shabbos in Moro, they'll say, hey, we've got to have a resting day once a week. He wanted them to know that Shabbos, now when the Yid keeps Shabbos, you got all the Ashpos. So he wanted to wait till they see that the Mon doesn't come down on Shabbos, and they see that Shabbos is already, it's something in the Teva, it's not something we accept on ourselves, we set aside a day for rest, to It's much more than that. This is Ashpoh, Chuchnius for the whole week. So he waited till the morning. He wanted them to know this lesson. That's why he waited till they came to him and they saw that it's taka difference. Then they got double. Vaistoy, the Shabbos is taka a different day. Then he was mitzvah them on Shabbos. Just to finish about the morn, we say in Parshas Bereishis, we say Vayechulu Hashemayim Vaoretz V'chol Tzevaom Vayevorech Hashem Hashvi Vayekadosh Oisoi, right? So Vayevorech Vayekadosh, Rashi says it's b'morn. What's it? Vayekadosh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sanctified Shabbos with morn, that no morn comes down on Shabbos. That's Vayekadosh. Vayevorech is that they get double on Friday. Vayevorech Vayekadosh Birchoi b'morn. On Friday they get doubles. You see a special brocha of Shabbos. So the obvious question is, why did they get double? Because they didn't get on Shabbos, right? So why is it a special brocha? Why do we say that you get double the rest of the week? Lechamishna, yeah, double. It's not double. I didn't get on Shabbos. I got on Friday double. So vice versa, what you have to say is the Chud HaTeretz is that they couldn't get on Shabbos. Yeah, they couldn't get on Shabbos. But had they not got on Shabbos, it takes a special schus to get double on Friday. Why is that? The Chud HaTeretz is what we said before. The whole mahalach of the mon was that the person got what he wanted. Oimer, exactly what he wanted. No more, no less. There was no, you couldn't collect more and you couldn't collect less. You got exactly what you want. The whole lesson was, Kosh Baruch is looking after you exactly what you need. So if they can't get the mon on Shabbos, then there's no reason for them to get the mon on Friday. To get the mon on Friday, you get what you need. The whole mahalach of the mon is you get what you need. You get on Sunday what you get on Sunday, what you need on Sunday, and not a drop more. You don't get for Monday, and you get on Monday what you need for Monday, not for Tuesday. So how come suddenly on Friday, although they're not going to get on Shabbos, it needs a special schus to get on Friday double for already for Shabbos? Suddenly the mon sort of changed its. It's the whole mahalach, its whole status. The money is something which you oimer lagulgolis, you get exactly what you need. And so you got more than what you need. You got tomorrow's. That's a special bracha of Shabbos. Shabbos is something which is taki, it says nachlo b'li metzorim. Whoever keeps Shabbos gilchos, it gets nachlo. Shabbos gives a person more than his needs. That's Shabbos is a. So Shabbos, you manage to get on Friday. Yeah, I don't know, I'm happy to hear if someone has another teretz. Otherwise, taki shvah. What's the vayikadosh? Vayikadosh, you got double. You have to say that it's a special chiddush, that although you didn't get on Shabbos, it's a chiddush to get double on the day before. So what would they have eaten? Yeah, it's true. What would they have eaten? But still, it's a special chus. They had to get double. True, they had to get double. But that's chus to get it a day early, before the time, so that you could be ruhig and that. That's a special chus of Shabbos. It says that the mon tested them. Yeah? It says, Hashem tested you. A person didn't have food for tomorrow. It was a test. Shabbos they got the day before. Because Shabbos is taka, but the chiddush is over here. It's the opposite of what the mon stands for. The mon is something which, all right. Let's just finish off with Parshas Hamolek. Yeah, Parshas Hamolek. We all know that next week we say in Yisroi that Yisroi saw Kriyas Yamsu Milchemes Hamolek. So it's always vertlach that what we should learn from Kriyas Yamsu Milchemes Hamolek. It's this week. Yeah, we have to, let's try and take some lessons from it this week, not next week. So Milchemes Hamolek, I saw a nice vote of Milchemes Hamolek. It says at the end, it says that Hamolek came and he fought with them, and then they won Hamolek. V'echlo sheyashir Hamolek v'samu lefi chorif. It was a whole hard war, and they were worried and this and that, and Moshe held his hands up. A whole long, quite a few psukim about it. They won Amalek. They beat Amalek. Vayachas Yeshua finally managed to beat Amalek. Vayomer Hashem Moshe ksov zeis yikom ba'sefer. Write it in a book. Kimocho yom chesecha Amalek. Metachas Hashemoy. Vayiven Moshe mizbeach. Vayikosh Moshe Hashem nisi. So Moshe built a mizbeach to thank Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu also lanu kan neis godo. So I saw a kasha bore down. It could be doicha the kasha a little bit, but the kasha is that lechur the order is a little bit wrong. It should have said that Moshe built a mizbeach right away. As soon as they beat Amalek, it should say, Vayiva Moshe mizbeach. Moshe thanked Hashem. First, it says Hashem spoke to Moshe, Ksoiv zei zikoron ba'sefer, kimocho yemche, kiva zikoron, shitakadu, with the zechir of mechir of Amalek. Only then he thanked Hashem. Why did he wait a little bit for later? That's the kasha. So the Teretz is brought down from a sefer called Koil ben Levi. Koil ben Levi was a poisek that a lot of the poisek can bring him. The Meir Yehuda brings him, or Bekevega. Koil ben Levi is someone who lived in Yerushalayim about 250 years ago. So he said like this. He said that Be'emes, it says in the pasuk, Vayachalosh Yeshua Samolik, Vayachalosh. Yeshua weakened Amalek. So Rashi says, what's that? He weakened. How do you weaken Amalek? So Rashi says that he killed all the Giboirim. Chotach Rashi Giboirim. He killed the Giboirim. Ve'lo ishir elo chaloshim shebenei. He left the weak ones. Ve'lo yorgom kulam. That means he didn't manage to, or somehow, he only killed the Giboirim. So that's how he weakened the nation. He made the nation weak. He made them only have weak people. So really, when Moshe, when they saw this thing that they only managed to weaken Amalek, so it wasn't a properness. They weren't happy. Yeah? Amalek wasn't properly wiped out. They knew maybe in future he could again cause trouble. Very similar to the story with Agog. Yeah, that Agog was saved and then later on Haman. So Taka Moshe wasn't sure to. It wasn't a properness. It wasn't a full thing. So it wasn't full atzala. So Moshe didn't thank Hashem. So what Taka happened? That Hashem told him, "Ksev Yizikaron Basefer." So when he saw, he said, what Hashem told him now, "Ksev Yizikaron Basefer." Hashem is telling him, "Zikaron Basefer." What Hakadosh Baruch Hu is telling him, "Milchama LaHashem BaAmalek Midor Yodor." Hakadosh Baruch Hu says, "We got to have by Amalek. We have to remember. Why do you have to remember? Because Amalek is an ongoing war. Amalek is Midor Yodor, from generation to generation. We have to always remember every year again Haman and again Amalek." It's an ongoing war that we need to have in this world, that we need to always, you know, be mischazek and fight against Amalek. So then he realized that there was taka a purpose that I was only vayachalosh. So then he taka said, Hashem, then he thanked Hashem. But at the beginning he wasn't sure, they didn't properly win them, they didn't finish them off. But now when he heard that it's taka Amalek, it's taka Muhammad, which taka have nowadays, they say in his following that a person has Amalek, every person has a bit of Amalek in him that he has to wipe out, he has to fight. It's a constant war. It's not something that you finish them off once. It's again, you matzliach to overcome Yetzirah, you have another fight the next day. It's an ongoing war. So that's why we taka thank Hashem for each bar. So let me just finish off with a nice little... Someone said, also say it in Sfarim HaKadoshim, I think this comes even from the Baal Shem Tov, that how Bnei Yisrael had the man in the Midbar. They had the man. They had food and they had clothes. The clothes were washed. How did they do chesed with each other? How did they ever do chesed? Machshava to do chesed. How did they do chesed? Yeah, they didn't need help with anyone with clothes, with food. It was all that. And Olam Chesed Yibonet, there's got to be, the world stands on chesed. How did they do chesed? So he said that they gave each other a nice word. Each one gave each other to give a smile, a good morning, and give a nice word. That was the chesed that they did in the middle. Shkoyach. Is it cut?